listening to History for Christian Teens, the podcast where we examine historical people, places, and events through the lens of the Bible, drawing meaningful lessons that we can apply to our own lives as believers. This podcast is designed for middle and high school age students, but mom and dad and everyone else, you're invited to listen in too. This broadcast is brought to you by the Ultimate Homeschool Podcast Network. Welcome to the History for Christian Teens podcast. I'm your host, Crystal Niehoff.
And I'm your co-host, Kevin Niehoff. Thanks for joining us today. Today, let's find out more about a man who was so bold that when called into service by God, he eagerly responded by saying, "Here I am, send me." Isaiah, his name means the Lord is salvation, born around the year 710 BC, he wrote an entire book of the Old Testament bearing his name. You can also read about him in 2 Kings chapters 19 and 20, and in many verses throughout the New Testament as well. As was common back in those days, Isaiah told the people how he received his calling from the Lord, which you can read in Isaiah chapter 6.
Opening to chapter 6, we read these words from Isaiah describing his call to ministry. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory.' At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke."
"Woe to me," I cried. "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty."
"Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, 'See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt will be taken away and your sin atoned for.' Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?'
And I said, 'Here am I, send me.'"
Not long after Isaiah responds to God's call, he is told that few would respond to his preaching. However, Isaiah was not dissuaded and served the Lord wholeheartedly anyway. Isaiah understood that the outcome is God's responsibility. His responsibility was to do what the Lord instructs and leave the results up to him. A quick note before we move on. In this passage, Isaiah talks about seraphim. Seraphim are heavenly beings who are thought to have had the appearance of flames. The word seraphim does not appear elsewhere in the Bible, but the living creatures of Revelation 4, verses 6 through 9, are also described as having six wings.
That was the beginning of Isaiah's ministry as a prophet of the living God, ministering to the people in and around Jerusalem in the southern kingdom of Judah. His prophetic ministry spans 53 years, from 739 BC to 686 BC. Over the years, he was a chief advisor to several kings, although they rarely listened to him. He often rebuked the wealthy and powerful for dodging their responsibilities, but he also called the common people to be obedient to God's commandments.
Isaiah was an equal opportunity prophet, meaning that he strongly believed that all people, regardless of their station in life, bear personal responsibility for their own relationship with the Lord. No one else can do it for them. The same is for us today. As Philippians 2 verse 12 tells us, to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Our parents can't get us into heaven. Our pastor can't get us into heaven. Our relationship with Jesus Christ is between us and Christ alone. He knows our hearts and whether or not we truly love him and are committed to living for him. Little is known about Isaiah's life outside of ministry. Even though he wrote a book comprising of 66 chapters, even giving details of his call to ministry, not much is actually known about Isaiah the man. We do know that he was the son of Amoz, though his mother's name is not known, and he was married and had sons of his own, but his wife's name is also unknown. It seems as though Isaiah was a very private man.
What was Isaiah's ministry? GotQuestions.org answers it like this in their article, Summary of the Book of Isaiah. The prophet Isaiah was primarily called to prophesy to the kingdom of Judah. Judah was going through times of revival and times of rebellion. Judah was threatened with destruction by Assyria and Egypt, but was spared because of God's mercy. Isaiah proclaimed a message of repentance from sin and hopeful expectation of God's deliverance in the future. End quote.
During his time in ministry, Isaiah gave many prophecies about Israel's future, which were bleak and distressing, most of which would happen during his lifetime. But he also had exciting news to tell. Isaiah foretold of a coming Savior. One of many verses given in the book of Isaiah announcing the coming Messiah is found in chapter 9, verses 6 through 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever.
Isaiah's portrayal of the Savior was that of a suffering servant, as we read in Isaiah chapter 56, verses 5 and 6. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Isaiah's prophecies of the coming Messiah was accurately fulfilled in the divine person of Jesus Christ hundreds of years later.
In fact, Isaiah was an amazingly accurate prophet of God. Jim George, in his book, 10 Minutes to Knowing the Men and Women of the Bible, lists four specific prophecies given by Isaiah that were accurately fulfilled 100%. Quote, Isaiah predicted that the Assyrians would not capture Jerusalem, even though they had defeated all the other countries in their path. He predicted Hezekiah's recovery from a critical illness. Isaiah named Cyrus, king of Persia, as Judah's deliverer from Babylonian captivity 150 years before Cyrus. And Isaiah predicted many aspects of Christ's first coming. All these prophecies were fulfilled 700 years later. End quote.
When you read the words of Isaiah between the pages of the book he wrote, you read the heart of a man who possesses an unswerving faith in God, who is deeply humbled, yet boldly proclaims the word of the Lord despite possible persecution. It also seems that he had close relationships with godly men of his day, namely Micah, who was also a prophet, and King Hezekiah.
An interesting article I came across while studying the ministry of Isaiah, from which I'd like to share with you today, is Evidence Isaiah Was Real, Not Fictional, and published on Patterns of Evidence website. Quote, a small pile of rubble was dug up and wet sifted by an experienced archaeological team in 2009. The rubble pile lay outside what some scholars believe to have been King Solomon's royal bakery on the Ophel, an open area south of the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. As is the case with serious archaeological digs, it took years to categorize and study the small trove of artifacts dating from 700 BC. Later, eminent Hebrew University archaeologist Eilat Mazar announced the finding of a clay seal impression, a bulla, that may have belonged to the prophet Isaiah. The discovery was confirmed by Mazar in the March through June 2018 issue of Biblical Archaeology Review. In that issue, the archaeologist lays out the case for the prophet's ownership. The Isaiah bulla was one of 34 uncovered, along with pottery vessels, ivory inlays, and figurines during the 2009 dig. Bearing the old Hebrew word for Isaiah, less one letter, which is assumed this clay impression is damaged, a part of the seal's circumference is missing. It's possible that the damaged area carried letters which identify the owner as Isaiah. the prophet who advised Hezekiah and foretold the Messiah, end quote.
Further down, the article goes on to add, what are the major factors that make Dr. Mazar believe the damaged Isaiah seal could well have belonged to the actual prophet of God? Three things: proximity of geography, proximity of relationship, and proximity of power. First, there was a geographical proximity to the two discoveries. The bulla of King Hezekiah and the bulla identified with the prophet Isaiah were uncovered in the same strata of earth, approximately 10 feet from each other. Then there was the relational proximity. The names of King Hezekiah and the prophet Isaiah are mentioned in one breath 14 of the 29 times the name of Isaiah is recalled, observed Mazar in Biblical Archaeology Review. No other figure was closer to King Hezekiah than the prophet Isaiah. If one looks at all the Old Testament passages where the name Isaiah occurs, it can be seen that fully half also contain the name Hezekiah in the same verse. Additionally, there is a power proximity. Clay imprints, such as those found at this royal dig, are usually reserved for people with status, kings and officials of the royal court, governors and important merchants. A prophet with a close relationship to the king may well fall into that category.
The article concludes with this thought. If both bulla are genuine and proof of two significant actors on the biblical stage have been dug up together, this find is important evidence. It verifies the close personal relationship between king and prophet spoken of in the Old Testament. It also supports the view that the scriptures are accurate records of the time, historical documents through which we can gain a better understanding of the ancient world, end quote. These type of discoveries fascinate me because they bring the people of the Bible to life, in a manner of speaking, because it proves they actually walked the earth at one time, just as we do today.
So let's talk about what we can learn from Isaiah that we can apply to our lives as believers. Life application number one, live a life of quiet service. Not much is known about Isaiah's personal life and in his life of ministry. He wasn't an attention seeker. Isaiah's humble demeanor and discretion may very well be the qualities that earned the confidence and friendship of King Hezekiah. It is likely that this is also the reason the Lord used him in such a significant and mighty way. Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 4 warns, "Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you."
Isaiah humbly did what the Lord commanded, which sometimes was quite public. But he didn't announce what he had done so as not to detract from the glory and honor due to God alone. If he would have, he most likely would not have been honored as the great prophet he is today, because his recognition back then would have been his only reward. When you do something to help another out or serve in ministry somewhere, do so quietly without posting on social media or telling all your friends what you're doing. Instead, stay in the background so that the Lord will be glorified through your selfless acts of service, and then he will ensure you are rewarded either at a later time or even more richly in heaven.
Life application number two, be bold and confident as you serve the Lord. In contrast to living a life of quiet service, not promoting your good works so that God receives all the glory, as you serve, though, you can do so boldly and confidently for God. Believe it or not, these two qualities can go hand in hand and make an incredible impact when they do. Isaiah was a man who kept his personal life personal because his ministry wasn't about him. It was about the living God. However, Isaiah boldly proclaimed the prophecies the Lord gave him, confident that God would fulfill them just as he said he would. Back then, prophets would be put to death for predicting an event in the name of God that didn't come to pass.
Exodus 20 verse 7 tells us that we're not to misuse the name of the Lord our God, because we will not go unpunished if we do. Leviticus 19 verse 12 warns, Do not swear falsely by my name, and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord.
However, when we are doing what the Lord has called us to do, as in 2 Corinthians 3:12 explains, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. What hope was the writer of 2 Corinthians referring to? Backing up to verse 9, says it's ministry that brings righteousness. And we know that our righteousness is through Christ. Just as the writer of Acts 28:31 says of Paul, proclaim the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. We too can be bold and confident as we serve the Lord.
Friends, we hope you enjoyed this look into the ministry of the prophet Isaiah. Please join us next week when we explore the life of a man with such integrity that even a den full of hungry lions couldn't devour him.
Got questions, comments, or prayer requests? Email us at historyforchristianteens@gmail.com. Don't forget to connect with us on Facebook or Instagram using the handle at History for Christian Teens.
Have a blessed week. Thanks for listening in today. If you like this podcast, please be sure to subscribe and give us a star rating on your favorite podcast app. You can follow us on Facebook too. Links to this and all the other resources mentioned during the podcast today can be found in our show notes at historyforchristianteens.com. We hope you'll join us again next week for another thought-provoking and insightful lesson in History for Christian Teens.